dive into God's word here in just a minute. Father, we just come to you right now, God. And God, I just pray that right now, Father, we turn all of the distractions, God, away, and that you focus, and we focus, God, on who you are and what you have in store for us. I thank you, Father, for just constantly loving us and guiding us, God. So, Father, I just pray this morning that as we dive into the last part of our lesson of this series, that we focus on what you have in store for us. And I thank you, Father, for who you are, for loving us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So we're going to be in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. I have up there 27, but it's really verse through verse 29. I changed it up this morning. I'm sorry, Sue. I'm looking for there you are. I'm sorry, Sue. I know you have it put in the bulletin, but God told me that we need to finish. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. And so the context that's happening right now is Jesus is finishing up the Sermon on the Mount. And he is giving a last warning, if you will, to his disciples, the people that are following him through this countryside right here. And he is emphasizing not just to hear what he says, but to actually apply what he says. These section of verses have actually been called the scariest Bible verse in the whole Bible. It's really kind of a toss-up, if you ask me, between this and 2 Peter chapter 2. But you'll see what I mean by the scariest verse in the Bible here in just a minute. But let's go ahead and look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23. And it says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name?' And I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" So these are the section of verses. This is be honest with you, this is hard to swallow for a lot of people. You see that Jesus opens up this section of verses as a reminder to the people that are following him, not just to verbally say that they are following him, but to actually live their lives the way they're supposed to be following him. And what I mean by that is, you see it especially with a lot of cultural Christians today. You see that they'll say, "Oh yeah, I'm a Christian," but the rest of the time that they're away from church, they don't act like it. They're not living like it. "Oh yeah, I love Jesus." This is a conversation I have all the time. One of the greatest examples happened when I was coming up here for a visit to see if God really wanted to place us here in this church. And I remember as I was on the plane, on the way up here, I was talking to this guy, and he was just, I mean, I don't think he knew another word besides the cuss word. And I'm not judging anybody, because I'm like, you know, he doesn't know who God is. You know, he lives a different way. That's fine, you know. I'll still talk to him. And so I was talking to him, and we finally got to the question that I hate answering more than anything else. What do you do for a living? Because one of two things always happens. They either completely shut down and want nothing to do with me from there on out because they're scared that I'm going to try to convert them. Or they do what this guy did. Oh, praise God. Okay, well, that kind of threw me for a loop. But we see here that even in those days, and still currently to this day, because if you look at what Jesus is actually referring to, he was referring to on the day that you die or through on the judgment day itself. "Lord, Lord, did I not do this? Well, I'm going to be honest with you. What Jesus is basically saying here, you had the head knowledge of who I am, but you didn't have the heart knowledge of who I am. You listened to who I am, what I have done, but you didn't apply it through your life. You didn't let that change actually happen in your life. There's an amazing thing that Rachel and I were actually talking about, because believe it or not, guys, even though she's not in here most Sundays doing the children's church and stuff, she still hears the sermon before you guys do, because I have to work it out to make sure what's actually happening. And she brought up a really good point. What about the people that walk away? And my point that I have is, when I was 16 years old, I got mad. I got mad at God. You ever been so mad you've been mad at God? I was. Be honest. I know there's a handful of people nodding their heads in here. They walked away. I walked away. Now, the question I get asked a lot is, if I died before I came back, did I lose my salvation? And I'm going to say, no, I didn't lose my salvation. I knew who God was. I knew for the while there, I was applying it to my life. I was living my life the way I knew I should. But I got mad, and I did the exact thing I knew that would hurt him the most. I ran. I ran like Jonah. I took the extreme opposite direction. And I'll sit here and say that, you see, we actually read the verse this morning. It's kind of funny how that worked out, of how once you actually accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there's nothing or no one that can take you away from that. If I would have died between the ages of 16 before I came back to God at the age of 20, I would have still gone to heaven, because I knew who God was. But the great thing about who God is he doesn't give up on us. God kept on having people come into my life and praying for me. There's a really cool letter that my sister's Sunday school teacher actually wrote me once I got ordained. She actually wrote this letter out for me and sent it to me and said of how my sister continually would ask for prayer for her brother to come back. And of how for years her Sunday school was praying for me. Of how different people in their lives were praying for me to come back, to experience again who God was, to turn away from my ways and to live the way I knew I was supposed to. But we see here that many people will profess that Jesus is Lord, but fail to live according to his will. And we see that Jesus is actually saying that just calling him Lord is not enough, but you need to apply and be obedient to the will of the Father. Because once you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, guess what, folks? Your life is no longer yourselves. You're no longer living for yourself. You have a purpose in life. You have a goal in life that's completely changed from what you want. And the perfect way to show this is, I remember one time, we were looking, I like to look at houses. I find it interesting, especially older houses. You guys know I went through a phase to where I took pictures of barns and I would throw them up on Facebook and stuff like that for a while, and I still do that. I just don't post them because I don't like most of the pictures I take anymore. But I remember this one thing. I stopped and talked to one of my friends down in Texas. And I remember seeing the outside of their house. It looked so cool and so interesting. They were doing all this work and stuff like that. And I remember he told me, he said, yeah, but we got a major problem. He's like, the outside looks great, but the foundation's rotten. He's like, we have to replace and start fixing this sucker. It's going to cost a lot of money. And I remember thinking to myself, that's a perfect illustration of how we as Christians can sometimes live. Sometimes people just live, they look good on the outside, but on the inside they're rotten. So the thing I want you guys to ask yourselves right now I want you to evaluate your old life. Are you what I call a Sunday Christian? Someone that shows up on Sunday and says, just like that guy that was I sat next to on the plane, say, praise God on Sunday, but Monday through Saturday, you're a completely different creature, completely different person. What we see here is Jesus just doesn't want empty words, but he wants people to truly fulfill their life purpose. Have a fruitful life, if you will. Let's go ahead and look at verse 24. Okay. Verse 24. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like wise men who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. So Jesus calls us not only to be doers, but not just hearers of his word, to actually apply what is happening in our lives. Matter of fact, I like to write in my Bible. I know some people say don't do that. I like to do that because I like to take notes. And I literally wrote those words down. It says, not just about hearing or saying, but actually doing and applying that to your life. Building a house on a firm foundation shows and ensures that you can survive any storm. You know, living, because I remember last week we were talking about, I forgot who it was, what pastor is it from that used to be here, is going down to Newton?
Dave Olson.
Olson. Thank you. And so it's interesting for that to happen because I remember this past week seeing a hurricane hit Florida, speaking of, we need to keep them in our prayers, hit Florida, reminded me of when I was in Newton, Texas, and having a hurricane hit. And it's an amazing thing to sit back and to watch. How many people, have anyone ever actually been in a hurricane before? I tell you what, especially when there's a tree in your front yard about 100 foot tall, you pray to God that that sucker does not tip over because it will smash everything. But I know the one time that a major hurricane came through Newton when we were still there, I was thanking God, thank you so much for the good foundation. Our house is not getting blown off because you have these hurricane force winds, or we just consider a normal day here, it feels like at times, come through and just absolutely start blowing. And you go, I don't know how anything outside is still planted or has roots down or have a house not blown over, because just a couple of towns over, there was a few houses that were blown off its foundation. Those are some strong winds that come through. But we see that there is a firm foundation that Jesus is showing here, talking about here, that no matter how hard the wind blows or beats on that house, no matter how strong that North Dakota wind is that day, you can stay firm on that foundation. So a question I want you guys to ask yourselves. Matter of fact, I want you to kind of write this in your Bible. There's another question I'm going to give you later, but here's a question right here is, what foundation are you building in your life? Are you building a foundation on the Word of God and actually taking what He's has for us, and that He has told us, that He has written down for us, that has been shared and throughout the generations? Are you actually having a firm foundation on what God has told us? Or are you just another hearer and not a doer? I want you guys to apply these words, this section. That's the reason why I wanted to go over the Sermon on the Mount. Because I honestly, let's be honest, I haven't really added much to this. I can't. The best teacher in the world that we've ever had is literally giving a sermon right here. And I've talked about it a little bit, but I haven't really added anything to it because there's nothing I can add to it. And he's challenging us here to have that firm foundation, one that's been founded on hard rock, hard stone that will not fall, that will not fail. So be careful with your relationships. Be careful with the decisions that you make, because that can affect your foundation. We see also in verse 26 through 27, it says, "And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew a beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." And so we see that Jesus is, again, making sure that we understand. Because if you look at teachings, and especially Scripture, oftentimes you see that Jesus will repeat something three times. You see, hey, you know, before, you see him talking to Peter, and before that, the rooster crows twice, you're going to deny me three times. Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Multiple times, he's challenging Peter, especially, and different people, by saying something three times. He's making sure that you have the emphasis of what he is saying, because it is that important. He's making sure that we don't miss the point. What are you building your life on? Are you building your life on yourself? On the sand? Be honest with you guys, I don't like sand. I don't. It gets everywhere. If we go somewhere, like the sand volleyball court we have here in town, I never get on it. Ellie loves it. She loves to play in it. I don't understand why, because it gets everywhere. I hate it. I hate sand. But that what we're doing, if you're not careful, you are building your life on something that's not stable. It can't hold you. As a matter of fact, if you start running too hard, sometimes you can twist an ankle, pop an ankle out, and stuff like that. It's hard to live a life when you're relying only on yourself, or you're relying on that not firm foundation, the sand foundation. But we see that if you have a good, firm, solid, rock firm foundation, you become a different person, a different creature, a different purpose in life. My question I have for you guys is, I want you guys to reflect. I want you guys to think about how you might be undermining your spiritual foundation. And the second question I told you guys I was going to give you, this is a really cool thing that Jesus does, because you see three times in these short handful of verses here of how he challenges us. And another question that popped in my head as I was reading through this week is, do you know him? No matter how far you think you've gone, no matter how many mistakes you think you might have done, no matter how far you think you have run, just like Jonah in the whale's belly, that whale took him back and spit him back out, right? And God told him to go. Go to Nineveh. Even though I know you don't want to, I got you. It's never too late for us to turn back to God. It's never too late to turn to God. Sometimes for the first time. I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago about my buddy, Jonathan Friend, the one that died in that car crash back in 2007. Again, Rachel and I, we talk about my sermons coming up. I run stuff past her and all that stuff. And reading these verses, man, it really hit me hard that I wish I would have done more for him. I really do. I wish I'd have done more for him because I'm not sure. And that's the hardest thing for me as a pastor. It's so nice when you do a funeral for someone that you know, like Miss Vivian. It was so nice knowing that she is in the presence of God and she is worshiping in a whole way, new way that we can't even fathom or even understand. It's so much harder knowing and thinking, I'm not sure as a pastor. I hope so. I honestly hope I see him there. I can't confirm that though. And we all have somebody in our lives that we long to see on the other side one day. And as long as they still have air in their lungs, there is still a chance for that person. God has not given up on them yet. I remember one of the last discussions I had with Jonathan was he was a recovering drug addict. Okay, be honest with you, he was. And he was there. He moved in with his brother and to my hometown, and I became friends with him through school. And I remember talking to him the very last time. I was sharing the gospel with him and showing him who Jesus really was and how much change can happen and hope can happen. And the thing that hits me and still stays with me is what he said to me here. Chris, you have no clue what I have done in my life. And I remember saying these exact words to him. And I said, Jonathan, do you know who Paul is? He said, Paul? I was like, yeah, Paul, yeah. In the Bible? He's like, no. I shared with him. I said, Paul used to be known as Saul, who was a murderer. Straight up murderer. He was there. If you come to Sunday school, you'll see of how Paul wasn't there whenever Stephen, the first martyr, died. He was in a trusted position enough to where they gave him their coin purses and their cloaks to hold on to. This is a trusted and high regard person enough to where they were willing to, the equivalent to, give them their wallets and say, I know you're not going to steal anything from me. Not only that, he went and got okay from the Sanhedrin to go and kill other Christians. To us, as Westerners, killing somebody is one of the worst possible things you can do. But the really amazing thing is, to God, they're all filthy rags to him. It's all horrible. Doesn't matter. Gossip, gluttony. I'm trying. I'm getting better. 80 pounds down. I'm happy for myself. But man, they're all filthy rags to him. And I remember him sitting there thinking about that. And he said, man, that's a good point. I never thought about that. And so, that's something that for me, I hold on to. And that's something that we, as Christians, the ones that get away like that, we have to hold on to. Is that you've planted a seed and hopefully someone was able to harvest that plant. The last two verses here, I find really interesting. We see here, and when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowd was astonished at his teaching. For he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribe. Jesus' words carried weight of ultimate authority. We see here he is challenging these people in a way that they've never experienced in their lives. And the crowd was astonished at what he was saying. Because he was teaching not as he was teaching with authority and not as a scribe, not as a normal person like me that relies on scripture, but someone that was actually able to that taught as they were there from the beginning. We see in John chapter 1 that the Word became flesh, and we see that once you read later on in chapter 1. That word is showing, is talking about how that's Jesus how Jesus became flesh. He was there from the beginning. He was part of the triune God, the God in three parts. The three-leaf clover, if you will. Each individual clover has an individual, each clover has three leaves. The leaves come from one plant. It's an interesting thing to sit there and really think about how Jesus was teaching with authority, because of course he would, because Jesus was literally God, but they didn't understand that yet, these people here. They were here just to experience who Jesus was. They didn't know who Jesus was until after the crucifixion, once he rose again, because multiple people saw him die and multiple people saw him walking around after the fact. And finally then, it clicked that Jesus was fully God, but yet still fully man, who came here to die for our sins so that we can have unity with God again, so we can have that relationship with God again. Join me in prayer. Father, I thank you for that. I thank you, God, for you always, God. No matter how far we think we've gone, no matter how many bad things we think we've done, God, you're not done with us. You are still calling from the wilderness. That still small voice sometimes, or even occasionally, guys, we see in Acts chapter 1, that strong mighty wind that came through and people were wondering, what is that? So Father, I pray right now for each person in here that we acknowledge who you are and realize, God, that it's never too late for us. We've never gone too far. And God, that you love us beyond all understanding and you're reaching out to us. So Father, I pray right now as we get ready to sing and to worship your name one more time before we go out to the mission field. God, if there's anyone in here that they come up, Father, and they ask how to accept this Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So let's go ahead, and I'm going to have the worship team come back up here, and we're going to sing, I don't know how many verses. Two verses. So I'm going to be down here because I feel God leading right now. If you have anything you want to talk about, pray about anything at all. If you want to know more about this Jesus, or if you just want prayer right now, come on up here.